We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Merciful Father, you gave your Son Jesus as the heavenly bread of life. Grant us faith to feast on him in your word and sacraments, that we may be nourished unto life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Exodus chapter 16, beginning at the second verse. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from the heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, we gather here in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be fed with his bread of life, with his word, and with his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We also come today and we witnessed another miracle happening in the baptism of Easton. Many people might say, what good is this? What really happens? What is this sign all about? Is there anything really powerful that happens in that water and just a few words spoken? You know, the people that gathered around Jesus on that mountainside, the ones who became hungry, and the ones whom Jesus fed perhaps thought the same thing. What is this sign? Is this really something that's special? Is it something that any magician might do? Because often Jesus' miracles didn't make sense. It doesn't fit the rational thinking, the scientific mind, that how could God, through Jesus Christ, do such wonderful things? How could God, through a little bit of water and a few words, do such a miraculous thing as cleanse the sins of a child and mark him as an heir of the heavenly kingdom? How can Jesus take a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish and feed so many people? What meaning does this have? How important is that anyway, just to fill their bodies with food? They try to say, well, with all those people there, certainly everyone just opened up their baskets to share their food with the other people. They had plenty to eat, their thoughts would be. Or they might say, there probably weren't that many people there to begin with. We had skeptics even then as we do now. When it comes right down to it, it makes no difference, even though mankind might try to diminish the miracles that Jesus performed, they are still miracles. Thankfully, you and I look at them and understand them with eyes of faith. For God has opened our eyes to see with faith what he indeed does through his word, through water, through bread, through wine. God's gift of grace to each and every one of you, given that you might see that Jesus' miracles continue even this day. After all, what is a miracle? A miracle that Jesus does is really a sign of the Father's love for his children. And so it is today that we are reminded that even though mankind might try to deny or change the miracles, we can't do that. We can't do that because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though we live in a world that changes, there is one constant thing, and that is Jesus, our Savior, Christ the Lord. For he does not change, and his word never changes. And he provides for us with his miracles as we saw today and we hear again in his word. For through the eyes of faith and through the revealed word of the Holy Scriptures, you and I see the picture of that crowd, and we hear in our gospel lesson how Jesus went across the lake. And the crowd realized Jesus and the disciples were gone. So our text begins by saying, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and went to Capernaum to seek Jesus. They weren't going there to let Jesus go. They weren't going to let Jesus go. After all, as they sat around on that mountainside, he had fed them and they had plenty to eat. And they know that they would be getting hungry again. So they were going to follow him so that he might feed them again. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you come here? They were curious because they had seen the disciples leave earlier in their boats when Jesus had dismissed the crowd and went up to the mountain to pray. And yet he was there ahead of the disciples. And rather than realizing that he had walked on water, yet another miracle, they just asked him, "When did you get here? When did you come? Or how did you get here? How did you do that?" For their pursuit of him was prompted by the less than commendable motives. Curiosity. How? Materialism. Looking for what they need to fill their stomachs. And carnal security. Security for their flesh. But Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they were looking for and what they desired. So Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you have the loaves and had your fill." They were well fed, so they were content for a little while. Then Jesus was going to put them to the test. Listen to what they say to Jesus. "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you?" Then they gave him an example as a test for him and what they wanted him to do for them. They said, "Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So the crowd reminds Jesus, "Look at our forefathers. They survived 40 years of wandering in the wilderness with manna every day." They're essentially saying, "Can you beat that? Can you top that? Can you do better than that? Can you do better than Moses?" Of course, they thought that Jesus could not. Then he reminds them of a couple things. First of all, it wasn't Moses who provided the manna. It was the Father from heaven who provided the manna day by day. Moses was just a servant of God, a leader of God's people. And after all, the bread they received in the wilderness was only perishable bread. It was only daily bread. There was yet the true bread to come from heaven, and that again would come from the Father in heaven. So Jesus points out to them and to you and me that he indeed provides for our daily needs day in and day out. But more importantly, he gives us what is necessary for eternal life. That was the point here in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The point was that Jesus tried to focus their attention not so much on the things that they had there, not so much on the fish and the bread, but on eternal things. Jesus said to them, as they came to him wanting to get fed again, Jesus said to them, "Do not labor for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." He says there's more to life than just living. There's more to life than just filling your stomachs and feeling full. There's more to life than just eating and drinking. There is eternity to be considered. So Jesus reminds them about the bread of life, the food that endures to life, eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. He tells them about this bread of life, this bread of life that is more than manna in the wilderness. For the bread of life is a true bread that comes from heaven, and that is Christ himself. Jesus says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So God opened their eyes, opened up their eyes of faith. And they said, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." In the original Greek text, it reads, "Give us as much of this bread as we can have." They hungered for what Christ Jesus was giving them. Then Jesus declared this, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty." This Jesus, The one standing before them was and is the bread of life, so that they would never be hungry. In the middle of the text, when Jesus talked about the miracles he had performed, he also talked about faith. They asked him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Similar, you might recall, of the rich young ruler, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the jailer at Philippi with Paul and Silas, who asked, "What must I do to be saved?" What a thrilling surprise in Jesus' answer. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to receive this bread of life? What must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus answers, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Dear people of God, your work is God's work for you. Letting him know that God is at work in your heart, that he indeed has created faith in you, and you are able to confess your faith to him and to one another. To show your response to God, you are directed to believe in him. And that too, incidentally, is the work of the Holy Spirit, not of ourselves. Just as the Holy Spirit worked through the water and the word for Easton this morning, declaring him a child of God, an heir of the heavenly kingdom. Even though Jesus has made available the bread that gives life, the life of God, you are still dead in sins and transgressions. We are sinful. You and I are sinful human beings. It is no denying. We need forgiveness of sins, for we are dead in him. Just as a corpse laying in a casket cannot raise itself up and come to the table to eat a meal, so you are unable to raise yourselves and acquire the bread of life. Like the crowd in the text, you are blinded by sinfulness. Like the crowd in the text, the Lord wants to open your eyes of faith to see that he is the only one who can provide the bread that gives eternal life. Just as he warns the crowd, he warns you. Do not work, that is, do not put your faith and trust in food that spoils. That is materialism, worldliness, pursuit only of the bread of life is what God asks of you. Trust in the food that does not spoil, in the food that endures to eternal life. Jesus reminds all of us of that. He reminds us that God the Father will give us the bread of heaven. He will give us the bread from heaven through Jesus. And thirdly, in fact, Jesus himself is the bread from heaven, the giver of the gift and the one who is the same, the gift itself. You came here today, just as those who gathered on that hillside, wanting to see Jesus. Did you really? Wanting to feast upon Jesus. Did you really? Wanting to hear God's word and be fed with eternal life. Did you really? I pray that that is so. And I pray that as you hear his word, as you receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, that you indeed recognize that it is the only way to eternal life. That you not just be fed temporarily. That you do not just hunger for things of this world, but you hunger for the word of God and for his body and blood. His gifts to you, freely given, but paid for by his sacrifice on the cross. Forgiven sins that you have not earned, but that he has earned for you. What is your work? Believe in him whom God has sent from heaven. You eat this bread from heaven when you use the means of grace. Baptism, as we witnessed this morning. The Lord's Supper for those who will partake, as you will today. And the Holy Gospel in the revealed Word of God. His promise is the same as that which he gave that crowd who followed him. Whoever eats this bread from heaven receives the food that endures to eternal life. You will never go hungry. He will feed you as long as you allow him to feed you with his word. Since Jesus is the bread of life, and since he assures us that whoever eats this bread will never go hungry, what shall we say to these things? What better response than to cry the cry of our text, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread always." Or give us this day the bread of life forever. May you richly feast on him and be nourished and grow with this food that he provides to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.